Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And Jesus will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your children may live. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
So, what do you all think of my haircut? I got it on Friday morning. What do you think? Too short? Too long? Just right? Just right. Nice. Thank you. You see, I've been going to the same barber hairstylist since I arrived here in Glastonbury back in the summer of 2002. And so for the last 15 years, I've had the privilege of hearing about the lives of my barber's two daughters, who are just about the same age as my daughters, Emily and Meg. And so on Friday morning, when Gino said, we just want the best for our girls, we just want them to be happy, we would do anything for them, I completely agreed. I think it is fair to say that most parents, if not all parents, just want their children to be happy, to have satisfying and fulfilling lives, and so we provide them with as many opportunities as we possibly can. And without question, your children, my children, children of this community deserve every benefit that we can possibly give them. And certainly one arena in which this is true in a community like Glastonbury is in our children's playtime, in their recreational and athletic endeavors. Because I, as a sometimes doting father, was no different than anyone else, with their permission, I now share a few of Emily and Meg's childhood activities. Who doesn't want their kid to learn how to bike, or kayak, or play in the snow? For my daughter, Emily, among her activities were cross-country skiing, playing for the Glastonbury High School tennis team, and this is before cell phone cameras, and so we're still looking in boxes for a better photo. But of course, there was her great passion for dance. And for Meg, What parent worth their salt would deprive their daughter of a chance to play t-ball? Or soccer? There she is in the green t-shirt and red stockings. But it turns out that the not-so-familiar sport of squash is what really captured Meg's passion. To see a daughter dancing with beauty and with elegance, or reaching great heights of success on a squash court, quite simply, life doesn't get much better than that. So Gino and I were in agreement as he carefully cut what little hair I have left. Parents will do almost anything, go to almost any lengths to make their children happy, fulfilled, experiencing the great joy of life. And that joy was also evident last Saturday morning, not yesterday, but a week ago, as I stopped by Rotary Fields near my house, and there were fields of parents doing exactly what I had done, providing some wonderful playtime for their much-loved children. So much fun watching the boys and girls running around on the field, those beautifully cared-for soccer fields. Happy and active children, happy and proud parents. And I was caught in the act of taking pictures by Jess and Andy Bean as little Anthony was playing soccer. But then we are also aware, sometimes painfully, here in Glastonbury, we are very, very privileged to have so many possibilities to offer our children. I could offer kayaking, biking, squash, dance, tennis, soccer, and more. How fortunate I was to be able to offer all of those to Emily and Meg. You see, in some parts of our nation and our world, playtime is not as idyllic in terms of what is available to children no less deserving than our children. In a refugee camp in Jordan, for instance, children and youth play soccer in the mud and rain to escape their mind-numbing existence day after day, year after year, in their makeshift homes away from home. And in the city of Mosul, boys jerry-rig a swing, even managing to smile as one bomb-injured boy swings back and forth. And in the bombed-out ruins of Aleppo, four girls find a moment of joy and just maybe a moment of peaceful play in some universal circle game of dancing and skipping. And while last Saturday I also spotted this little girl enjoying the slide at the Rotary Field playground, other boys and girls don't have those same beautiful playgrounds, play equipment to help them enjoy their innocent years of being a child. Only speaking for myself, it is so very easy to take for granted how our children get to play in near perfect conditions, while for so many, many children in this country and around the world, being a child is simply not the same. Childhood is not quite as innocent, not quite as carefree, not quite as idyllic. But sadly, one doesn't have to travel to Syria or Jordan, Mississippi or the Sudan to witness the disparity in play or opportunity for children and youth. Last year, when the Hartford Public High School cross country team was in need of food to eat and warm clothes to wear at meets on cold autumn days, the Hartford High School cross country coach, Phil Mitchell, who happens to be my future son-in-law, reached out to some of his friends in the coaching community. You see, Phil and his sister Kristen, who both grew up in this church and attended Glastonbury High School, were one year the state boys and girls cross-country champions. only the third brother-sister team to achieve that feat. And so last fall, when Phil reached out to the Glastonbury girls cross-country team, they were quick to donate gift cards to Stop and Shop for food so that Phil's runners would have something to eat before and after their meets. And then the cross-country coach of the GHS boys team, Howie Brynan, sent an email to the parents of our high school team. Phil was overwhelmed by the response of both the kids and the parents. Phil said, "The speed and generosity of their response was unbelievable, and I was able to purchase sweats and food for the cross-country and track teams. I had no idea that I would be able to raise that much so quickly, and it was even more special knowing that it was coming from my own community and from the team that I had once been a part of. I Googled it. Hartford High is 9 miles from where we sit this morning. But it makes absolutely no difference whether a child is 9 miles away, 90, 900, or 9,000. Every child is worth having and deserving of a childhood. We know that we should do everything that we possibly can for our own children, but as people of faith, we also know that we can never, ever take our blessings for granted. And we are also keenly aware that we can make a difference, and we do make a difference, in the lives of children not as fortunate, not as blessed as our own. And so we do help with after-school snacks and sweats for those cool afternoon meets. Let there be no question about it. Here at First Church, we already do make a difference, a profound difference in the lives of children. Children in Hartford, in Manchester, Mississippi, in Haiti, in Puerto Rico, and East Africa. But perhaps there is still more that we can do. Robin Rosenberger of Seattle discovered that she could do more. She discovered a way that she could help children who are sick or struggling to recover from an injury, who might need a reminder of how special they really are and how each of them is like a little hero. And so Robin stitched thousands of capes for children to wear. You see, 4 years ago, Robin wanted to do something special for her nephew. So she pulled out her sewing machine and for his second birthday, made a very simple superhero cape. The present was a hit. So she sewed some more for her own son and for her dog. But then, riveted by a blog about Brenna Westlake, a 19-month-old little girl battling a rare skin disorder that covers her body with plates of skin that crack and split apart, Robin Rosenberger wanted to do something to honor that child's bravery. She reached out to Brenna's parents. "We think your daughter is a superhero, and we would love to send her a superhero cape." Brenna's family was thrilled. "We've been calling her our superhero since she was born." So in January of 2013, Robin Rosenberger, age 28, launched Tiny Superheroes, a company which incorporated volunteers who have sent over 10,000 capes to ailing children in all 50 states and in over 16 countries. "They're all super," she said, and then their name. So it would be Super Amelia or Super Elliot. This is Super Joe in his cape with his father, Patrick. "I swear it gave him strength," Joe's dad said. "I put it on him the second we got it." Robin created the first 1,000 capes in her own living room. but the demand was so high that she launched her company. She said, if getting a cape can make a child feel like they are a tiny superhero, I'll keep sending them for the rest of my life. Little Anthony loves his cape too. And as his father said, every day Super Anthony wears that cape, he exudes strength and determination, courage and bravery. Friends, if Super Anthony can be a superhero, what are we waiting for? I would conclude this second Children's Sabbath sermon in this way. At one of those talks this summer at Chautauqua, I learned that facts and figures normally do not inspire people to take action. I get that, but I will only share two. In doing my research for this morning, I read that today there are 2.2 billion children in this world, and over a billion of them are living in poverty. I was astounded. Almost half the world's children are living in poverty. And the second fact, equally disturbing, despite the drop in overall poverty in our great country, children remain the poorest age group in our nation. Seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan. Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. I set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Choose life so that you and your children may live. This church and each one of us here are already doing so much for children. But maybe, just maybe, each of us can find one more thing that might make a difference in the life of just one more child. So is there anyone here ready to show Anthony's strength and determination, courage and bravery? Is anyone here ready to be a superhero? Yes. Is anyone here ready to cape up for children?
Yes.
Friends, let our lives be our prayer, for every child deserves a place where they can be safe. Thank you.
Give us mid so we